Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verses 24 through 26. This is the reading of God's Word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 24. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time hearing of your word. Oh, let us hear your loving voice through your word. Grant us an ear to hear. Otherwise, we will just hear but not hear. Bless us that your word will penetrate our hearts and that it will tell us about wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that through your word, let us meet your Son and see the eternal realities that our Lord has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice as we hear your word. Let us rejoice, for you are our God, and we are your people, now and forever. Speak to us through your word, and let us hear. And not only hear, but let us obey, bringing glory and honor to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be looking at this chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, and learning about how God's people live when they live by faith. Faith witnesses the reality of heaven. Faith enables the one who has that faith to live according to that reality of heaven which it witnesses. Faith enables us to live our lives with our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His kingdom. No matter what circumstances that we find ourselves in, faith enables us to live that joyous heavenly life that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Even when we suffer, we rejoice. And here we are not talking about a pessimistic life. We are not talking about just deceiving oneself to believe, but fully, actively seeing through our faith, through the Word, what is true of us in Jesus Christ, even now. What is true of us because of what Jesus has done and accomplished for us. It is about fully seeing who we are in Jesus Christ, fully seeing what we possess in Jesus Christ now and forever. Faith enables us to participate in the life of Christ and even in his suffering with joy, because faith enables us to consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us when Jesus returns. We see in our chapter the citizens of heaven who live by faith. They lived in this world as the ambassadors of heaven. They lived their lives representing the kingdom of God. They, through faith, possessed Jesus Christ and His kingdom as their eternal inheritance. They, through faith, saw very clearly how God is their God forever and they are God's people forever. Because of their faith, even the sufferings became their joy, and they were willing to suffer for Christ and even welcomed death if it is for Jesus Christ. They, through faith, confessed that even death is gain. It did not matter to them whether they were living in wealth or poverty, in good health or bad. Rather, what was important to them was whether by life or by death, Jesus Christ be exalted in their lives. What was important was that the glory of God and the glory of heaven be witnessed through their lives. And what the Bible tells us is that faith makes us to live this way. This is not an option for Christians. This is what the Bible says that the life of Christian looks like. Of course, you and I, we do not do this perfectly. Our faith is never perfect in this world. But by grace of God, who perfects our faith, we witness more and more the heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished already for us. We live according to what we confess. We live according to what we believe. By God's grace, we do this more and more. Yes, never perfect until we die, but doesn't mean that we just completely ignore and don't even give our good effort. We will be, by grace of God, more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And understand, brothers and sisters in Christ, without faith, this is impossible. People who do not see heaven through their faith, through the Word of God, it is impossible for them to live like this because all they see is this world. This world is everything for them. And for those people who live according to this world, it's very natural because this is it. But for us, who God has saved us out of this world, who gave us faith to believe, who live by faith. Now, today, we once again in this chapter, and I hope I wanted to actually go through every one of them in this chapter, but that would take us many, many months. So today we're looking at Moses. Next week, we're going to look at the summary of this chapter, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. So many people are asking me when we are going to start that. But here we once again meet a child of God who lived by faith, and his name is Moses. And through the life of Moses, we once again see the reality of heaven where he and we belong forever. Verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And he also considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Again, by faith, Moses, that's how it begins. He lived by faith, and this is how life looks like when someone lives his life by faith. And we will see later that the purpose of this chapter is not to exalt these people. It's not saying, look at these people, they are special. What God is telling us is that this is how Christians live. And he's giving you many examples from the Old Testament. And he will show you how it's not just these people that are named who live this way, but true Christians live this way. And it's not to disappoint you or discourage you. God wrote this. Please understand. God wrote this to encourage you. That when you look at your life and you read this chapter and you say to yourself, man, I could never live like that. So you get discouraged. Because you're not looking at the Bible correctly. It's not about Moses. It says by faith, Moses. And chapter 12 tells us that the author and the perfecter of that faith is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who works in his people so that his people will live the way that it will bring glory to God. So when you look at your own life and compare what the Bible says what Christian life should be, and there's just too wide of gap. It's completely different than what you see in the Bible. Then you must go to Christ. He's the only one who could make you do this. You must depend on him. It's not okay that your life is really different from what the Bible shows you what Christian life is. But God wrote this so that we may understand what we need to do. We have to focus our eyes upon Jesus Christ. It's hard work depending upon Jesus Christ. And let's look at how Moses lived. His parents, as you know, defied the king's order, Pharaoh's order, to kill all male children. And his parents hid Moses for 3 months because they saw Moses was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king. You see, even from the very beginning, Moses participates in the life of his Lord Jesus Christ. Even Jesus, when he was born, King Herod ordered to kill all male children under 2. And here we see the pretty much same thing. Moses' parents were no longer able to hide Moses, so the mother put him in a wicker basket and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile River. And you know the story, so I'm not going to go into in detail. The daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe, and sees the basket and takes Moses as her child. Exodus 2:10 says, the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses, meaning she drew him out of the water. Acts chapter 7, verse 22, and Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. And according to what we read in our passage, Moses was given, in the perspective of this world, the best environment one might hope for in this world. I mean, Egypt at that time was a powerful country. And he became a son of the king. And he was educated in that nation as the prince. Just think about all Moses had as he grows up. In the perspective of this world, this is it. This is the best. He got everything he needs and more. The Pharaoh's daughter saved him and gave everything one might hope for in this world. But what we read in our passage, it says, our passage, verse 24, begins by this. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we tend to read the Bible too hastily, too casually. You have to really think when you read the Bible. Moses, as he grows up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let's think about this for a moment. Do you approve what Moses is doing here? After all, Pharaoh's daughter saved his life and gave everything he needs. She was so good to Moses, you see. What did she do wrong to Moses? She's the one who saved him out of that Nile and raised him as her own child. She was the savior of his life. She raised him as if he was her own child. How then Moses betray her like that? Is this okay? You just said, oh yeah, Bible says, so you just say, okay, it's good. Yeah, of course Moses had to betray her. No, you really think about this. Moses, a very ungrateful man, no? What would you say if you see a person like Moses today? Somebody saved that person's life and gave everything he needs to grow up, you know, comfortably and well-educated. And then, you know, when he grows up, all of a sudden he betrays that person. What would you say about him? I don't think you will approve. But this is how we read the Bible. We read it so casually. Of course, Moses had to, you know, reject her. Really? You must think and really understand what is going on here. We must remember what the Bible says. Moses is living by faith. And this is, as a conclusion, you see, to witness the reality of heaven and to glorify our God, we must forsake everything in this world, even it means to be seen as an ungrateful man in this world. Let me read you a couple passages. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me, Jesus says, is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Luke chapter 14. Verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And our Lord said this in Matthew 12, verse 48 through 50, but Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who is my brother? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. We have our Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Family in Jesus Christ. Now, does Jesus say then we are to ignore or neglect our earthly family? No, that is not what Jesus is saying. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A man of house, you know, the husband and the father, you know, that figure, man of the house. If he does not provide for his family, then he is worse than an unbeliever. Obviously, you get the point. We are to take care of our family. That's why if there is a man of the house who just, you know, lazy, that he refused to take care of his wife and his family, this church will discipline that kind of man. For he is worse than the non-believers. But, that being said, we cannot love anything more than Jesus Christ. Understand what Moses is doing here. It is not easy for him to just reject Pharaoh's daughter, his, not natural mom, but mom who raised her, I mean him. You see, if it means to obey the will of God, then we must be willing to forsake everything, our earthly family, our saviors of our lives in this world, even the life itself. Yeah, I teach my kids to forsake me if I tell them to sin. You don't follow me just because I'm your father. You are to obey your heavenly Father. That's what your life is all about. And we have our heavenly family. We and Moses have one Father, and in Jesus Christ, we are one family of God. Whether you accept that or not, that's your choice, but the fact remains that all Christians are one family of God. And we must love one another and witness the reality of heaven that our Lord has already accomplished for us. And this is what Moses is doing. Verses 25 through 26. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God, his heavenly family, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ, the sufferings for Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. He chose rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of this world. He considered the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of this world. And how could he do this? What made him do this? Well, the verse says, by faith. And at the end of verse 26, he was looking to the reward. Now that reward, you cannot understand that word in terms of this world. You know, some people think, well, Moses forsook all the riches of the world, for he was looking to receive more riches of the world. It doesn't work like that. That is not what the Bible is saying. That, even non-Christian will do. If non-Christian realizes, if I give up 100 bucks, then I will get 1,000 bucks, he will do it. But if he realizes that if I give up 1,000 bucks, I don't get anything in this world, I don't think he will do it. So that is not what the Bible is saying, okay? First of all, let's understand that. It's not about he was looking to get more riches of this world. But by faith, he was looking to the reward. This is how he was able to live like this. Reward, the eternal inheritance, which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. Enduring ill treatment and reproaches of Christ, for he was looking to the heaven. By enduring with joy the ill treatment and reproach of Christ, Moses, by faith, witness the reality of another world. He lived by faith. It all comes down to this, brothers and sisters. It all comes down to this. What do you want? Is it this world or is it heaven? It all comes down to that question. What is your desire? Moses chose heaven. Faith makes him choose heaven. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Did you hear that? The pleasure of this world is passing. And you must remember that. While you're having that pleasure of this world, you might feel good, even be happy. But remember, it will not last. It's passing. It's deceiving you. Again, what will you choose? Something that is passing or something that is eternal? What will you choose? Faith always chooses the eternal. This is what Moses is doing. By faith, he is choosing the eternal. And Bible also teaches us that living according to the eternal, who will be persecuted in this world. Acts chapter 14 verse 22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I show you the promise of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly, all who desire to live according to God in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It does not say you might be persecuted or maybe you will persecute it. It will. You will be persecuted. This is the promise from God. And I hear this from especially Christians in the United States of America. Where is suffering? Well, start live by faith. God guarantees it. Then why would anybody choose to live this way? See, that is the secret that you must learn. Why would anybody willing to suffer? What is so good about living like Moses? I mean, think about it. As a prince of Pharaoh at the time, man, he could have, whatever he wanted to, he could have it. And yet he forsake all that. Why? Well, he was looking forward to heaven. That's what the Bible says. But if you don't see heaven, it's just not going to work. How is it going to work if you are looking toward heaven, but you don't, all you see is this world? But you understand, this was the very life of Jesus Christ, who is our eternal King. Why? Because this world is not his kingdom. And it is the same for us. We must imitate Christ. We must participate in his life. And it's not just, you know, we do this grudgingly, but it will be our honor to imitate Christ. It's like the father that you love so much, especially when you're younger. When you grow up, then you kind of see the faults of your parents, and you know, your respect for them may reduce. I hope not. But when you're young, you really look up to your father, and man, you wanted to do everything like him. You know, you imitate him. Even in how you walk and how you talk, you try to be like your father. Because you love him. That will be your joy to do so. Just like it will be our joy to imitate Christ. Even in his suffering, we want to be like him. Go to Luke chapter 14. Let me, I do this to newcomers, but so many people here, many of you did not finish that Bible study with me. So let's do this. Luke chapter 14, verses 25. Through 35. Let me read it first, and ask you some questions. Now large crowd were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish. All who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up of his possession. His own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ear to hear, let him hear." God is commanding all of us today to count the cost. We're not dumb. We're not stupid. We have to calculate. Yeah, if you want to build a building, you're going to calculate. You're going to count the cost. And if you don't have it, and it's just not going to be profitable, then you're not even going to start. Why would you start? And if you only have like 10 people and your enemy has 1,000 people, you're going to calculate. You're going to count the cost. Can I win this? And if your answer is no, you're not even going to start fighting. I mean, unless you're stupid, then yeah, of course you're going to start building and start fighting even though you're not going to finish it and you're not going to win. God is saying, let's count the cost. So, brothers and sisters, let's do that. Let's really count the cost. What must we forsake? What price do we need to pay in order to possess God and His kingdom? So, you divide the paper in two columns. One, things you have to forsake in this world. The other column, things you will gain by following Jesus. And you have to count the cost. If you're not going to be profitable, then why would you follow Jesus? And even if you believe you're not going to make any profit and you follow, then there's something wrong with you. Christians are not dumb. We're not stupid. We're not willing to forsake everything I have in this world because I'm stupid. I have counted the cost. I know exactly what I have to lose and forsake, and I know exactly what I'm gaining in Jesus Christ, and I count it, and I like what I see. That's why I follow Christ. You guys, we're not stupid. But if you don't know how to count, then we have a big problem. See, what you need to lose, $10. What you will gain, $1 million, and you still choose $10. Is there something wrong with you? Compare what you have to lose in this world with what you're going to gain in heaven forever. How does your equation come out? And based upon how your equation looks like, that's what you're going to do. God is reasonable. He's not forcing you to come after Him. No, He's just saying if you want, if that is your desire, if that's what you want, then follow me. I don't think God is saying, oh yeah, you know, just, I know you don't want to do this, and you know, you hate me, you love the world more, but please come, still come after me. No, that is not what God is doing. Compare. Yeah, and there's so many people who will go to college. Compare. You go to, you know, worldly good college and, you know, all the things you're going to gain. But also compare that with all the things you might lose. Cannot even find good church to be fed with this heavenly manna every week. How much you're going to lose? Compare. And whatever the equation you come up with, that's what you're going to do. What is important to you? That's the question. We will always do what we believe is best for us. That's just how we are. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we must count the cost. And even after counting the cost, you want to follow Jesus because you see by faith what you are indeed gaining is much more than what you need to lose. Then with joy, follow Jesus Christ. Nobody is begging you to come. But brothers and sisters, I trust that you have already counted the cost. All of us who possess God and His kingdom have already counted the cost, and we already know what we must forsake. Moses counted his cost. Moses knew exactly what sufferings he had to go through. He knew exactly what must he forsake. He knew exactly. But he also knew exactly what he was gaining in Jesus Christ. He counted the cost. That's why he counted and says, oh, the sufferings for Jesus Christ, that is far greater riches than the treasures of the world. Even if they give me everything in this world, it just doesn't compare. And this is what we must do. Now for Moses, all the sufferings that he goes through because of Christ is not only more valuable to him than all the riches of this world, but it is now his joy. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look what Paul says. Verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted. See, he counted here too. He counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, for that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Look, he wants to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And you hear in his language this counting, calculating. To have Jesus, Paul is willing to lose everything. And don't think Paul is stupid. Paul knows exactly what he's doing. He understands what he is gaining forever and ever. But see, this is what you need to understand. Paul is willing to lose everything just to gain Jesus Christ. He could do this because he sees even doing that is imitating Jesus Christ. Because that is exactly the life of Christ. To gain you. To gain you, Jesus was willing to lose everything, even his life. God is not unreasonable. He will never ask you to do anything that he himself did not do for you. Do you understand that? Jesus does not like this one-sided love. You know, in Korean, 짝사랑. He wants you to love him as much as he loves you. And that life will never be perfect until we die. But that is his desire for you. Because, do you understand? To gain you, he lost everything. To gain you, he counted everything rubbish. Even his life. And he wants you to love him back with the same love. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. He's content, he's satisfied with weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties for the sake of Christ. It looks weak to the world, but it is the glory of God. We are triumphant through our victory, victorious through our faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith that looks to heaven, consider all things rubbish, all things dung. Some other translation says dung. And all the sufferings for our Lord Jesus Christ, more valuable than all the riches in this world. Hear what Psalmist says in Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. One day with Christ in heaven is far better, far greater than a billion years with all the riches of this sinful world. This is his confession. But you could confess this only when you understand how valuable the heavenly things are. See, if you consider heavenly things rubbish because earthly things are more valuable to you, then you would never understand what we're talking about. Heavenly things, who cares? I can't even see it. I can't even touch it. Rubbish. One day with Christ in heaven is far greater than billion years with everything you could ever want, your sinful desire one in this world. Brothers and sisters, of course, we do not do this well. No one here is perfect in this. That is why God wrote this Bible for us to read. So that by reading, our faith will grow. By hearing His word, our faith will grow. So that you may live as such people. Let me finish this up. We don't do this very well, but nevertheless, we do live by faith, witnessing our reality of heaven. We too, by faith, look to the reward. You and I, we too, by faith, look to heaven. And this is the life of all Christians, not just a few. All the people who were the original recipients of this letter. What was their life like? We read that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. And finish this up here. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But remember the former days, and this is not like special people of the Bible. This is just regular Christians who lived at that time, who are receiving the letter, this letter. Now, it says, but remember the former days when, after being enlightened, after you have become Christian, you endure a great conflict of sufferings. Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulation, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and a lasting one. Now, isn't that interesting? They lived their lives a lot like Moses's. Do you hear that? Enduring a great conflict of suffering, being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulation, showing sympathy to the prisoners and accepting joyfully the seizure of their property, knowing that they have a better possession, an abiding one. Pretty much the same thing as how Moses lived, no? So you must understand, we're not just talking about special Christians. We're talking about Christians in general with true faith. They live the very same life that we're reading about in our chapter. This is the very life of Jesus Christ. And all Christians are truly united to Christ. Everything that is true of Christ, except being God, of course, is true of us. And our life is a participation in His life. Do you remember Hebrews 12, verse 2? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We'll look at that more carefully next time. But for the joy that is set before Him, He endured the cross. So He was able to endure the cross. How? For the joy that was set before Him. Now, when He was dying on the cross, and we talked about this, so, you know, let me just remind you. When He was dying on the cross, what would possibly be the joy that was set before Him? That was the end of His life. And after His death, you know, He goes up to heaven. So what would be the joy that was set before Him? It was joy of being united to His Father. It was joy of being united to His people in that glorious place. The heavenly joy. That was the only joy that was set before Him on the cross. It wasn't joy of coming down from the cross and what, living, you know, 30 more years, you know, rich life in this world. No. So Jesus was able, according to the Bible, to endure the cross itself because of the joy of heaven. And you and I, we must do the same way. There's no other ways. Jesus is the way. And we imitate Him. We follow Him. You and I, we're the same. That's why Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13. Hence, let us go out to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. So here, you consider reproach of Jesus more valuable than anything this world can give to us. For here, we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Same thing. We rejoice even sufferings because of Christ, because we are seeking the city which is to come. We are looking forward to heaven. The story of Jesus Christ is the story of Moses, and it is our story. It's all about becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, imitating Christ, and participating in His life. We must understand what our lives are all about. What is our eternal reality? And by faith, we must witness that reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Let us live this glorious life that our God has given to us. Let us live with joy now and forever. Brothers and sisters, we'll talk about this more next time. Yeah, maybe this might sound too overwhelming for you. But trust Christ who is in you. He will enable you to live this life. And everything that Jesus does is effective. He always succeeds. You have to trust Him. You have to believe. He will complete His work until the day, that day when we will see Him face to face. Consider an honor God asking, commanding you to live this life. That's great honor. That He would count us worthy to live this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory, honor, and power. Yes, it is indeed our honor and joy to live this life for You, for Your glory. But Father, we are not confident. We are not able. But Father, we trust You. He who began the good work in us will complete that work until the day of Jesus Christ. We believe, we trust You. We thank You that You are even now working in us, making us more and more like Your Son. Let us believe, let us trust You, let us live by faith. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.